Nathan's, I remember like hearing about Nathan's forever, right? Because it's a New York thing, yeah, New York, New Jersey. Yeah. And we kind of lived in Detroit, so it was always like, I never really had a Nathan's unless you bought the packaging at Kroger.
Yeah, right.
So when I first had a Nathan's, like originally in Brooklyn, like I was working with Arizona, and they're like, hey, you're going to go to a Nathan's today. And I'm like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't that impressed.
Not that good,
after.
Huh?
After I had my first one, I'm like,
okay. I know I've had it, but I don't remember.
It's okay.
It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog, but I thought it was really going to be exceptional, and it really just wasn't.
Well, I mean, it's like, what are they going to do to a hot dog to make it so much better than all the other hot dogs? Let's segue right into our bit here about five illegal drugs that were once used in everyday products.
Yes.
Maybe we can just, we're rolling. Let's go.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the Sal and Bob Show. We're just, you know, we did a timer today. This is a new invention for podcasts. We set a timer on the recorder, and we said whenever it starts, we were going to start talking, and whenever it started to record, whatever we were talking about was going to be our
start.
And
here we are, and here you are.
And that's what we did. So welcome to the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me is Bob Phillips. We are still locked down under quarantine, under the claws of Gretchen Whitmer to stay in our homes as much as we can. We can go out and get our booze. We can go out and get our weed. We can go out and get our food.
We can have that delivered.
But we can't go. We can go to the gym by ourselves, but not do a class, which is good.
Wait, we can go to the gym now?
Yeah, you can go to the gym if you're going to just do yourself. But if you're going to do a class, you can't be part of a rowing class or whatever you're doing. But anyway, to December 20th, hopefully will be the day that we can go back out to outdoor dining. But that's how it is. And speaking of that, I did a show in Wisconsin, and then I did another one in Ohio last week. So I went out on the road and just did some really cool bar gigs that are really fun to do.
It was good to hear you had two good shows.
You did a so we both kind of did some things in comedy that's going, like right now, comedy is only virtual, Zoom or whatever, or it's working in states that are open.
Yeah. That's basically a lot of those.
So I did the live performance of that, and you did a Zoom performance of that, which we did both avenues is what I'm trying to say. You want to talk about yours first, or what do you want to do?
Well,
I wanted you to talk about
it's like, good news or bad news.
No, just your experience of your Zoom show this week that you did.
All right, yeah. I want to I got to be careful how I talk about this.
Well,
because
can I say something before you start?
Absolutely.
I just want to say, I don't know how your show went because I told you to tell me on the show.
Yeah.
But regardless, you're already in the hole because the Zoom shows, concept sucks.
I know.
So let's just be honest. Sucks. Okay, move on. Hopefully it went well, but
That's a very good point, sir. you're beginning. It's like starting a race with, a broken ankle. Or you're starting you're getting in the ring and you got one hand tied behind your back, because comedy is not meant for this kind of forum. It just doesn't work well. It will never work well. I mean, I get it, and I'm so appreciative that I got this gig. I'm not going to mention any names of anybody, okay? Because I don't want to, if anybody hears this that was part of that. I don't want to.
No, you're just giving your experience of it. You're not making fun of the group or whatever.
No, but people are trying to keep stand-up alive and trying to keep, comedy going in the world. And I appreciate the efforts. Yeah. It just doesn't work. And I've had many data points to support that. This was the latest. I've done several Zoom shows. This was actually a WebEx show. And Sally, let me just say, this was done. I did the show for one of the world's largest ad agencies, okay? Offices all around the United States, London, Spain, France, other parts of Europe. I don't know where all their offices are, but.
So it was a big company.
It's a big company.
A lot of people online watching this.
Yeah, a lot of people on the line, and more than I thought.
Okay.
So we had something like 80 nodes. We had like maybe 100 people on there. We had You know, I don't know if you know how WebEx works, but it's like it's all like that. It's like Zoom. It's like the Brady Bunch thing.
Yeah. Everybody's on the screen. Yeah. Everybody's squared out.
Divided squares.
Everybody's got their little squares.
And I think there probably was 10 on each screen, and I think you could cycle through 8 of them. So, say 80 to 90 people. And the lone bit of what should I say? Advice I was given by the show organizer who worked at this company was don't do any sex jokes. Okay. No, I don't do sex jokes.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, you know, I was, 3 hours, boom, bada, boom.
It's a vague comment.
Like, I do
no
innuendo.
Sex jokes, but, you know.
I do. Yes. I do things that are sexual. There's references.
Yeah.
But the actual sex act, I don't. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm good. And also the direction I got from this person was, hey, we're a real rowdy bunch. We swear all the time and we drink at work, even, you know, during regular times, not pandemic
that
times.
That was so, a comment that was said to
that
me.
Was, that, was
a,
that was made.
At work.
Yeah, that was okay. Made to me several times. Okay, these people drink at work.
Yeah. If you're drinking at work, I'm already rolling in my head what material to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This group drinks at work. If they would have said this group prays at work, then you would have adjusted your set.
Different
right?
thing. Yes. I would have gone down a different road. But these are a bunch of alkies who are swearing at each other all the time in an ad agency.
I'm already with you. I know.
All right. So the caveat was given to me was, but no sex jokes. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to do my act because I don't have that kind of thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Nathan, our producer, Nathan Armbruster, took the bullet for me and did 5 minutes up front.
Okay.
Great, Nathan, everybody knows he's not an opener, but he opened for me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, he opened for it just to get everybody's heads out of their phones.
Exactly. He got everybody focused and going, okay, looking at their screens, going, oh, there's jokes coming out of this guy's face.
Yeah, guys were closing their porn windows down at that time, right? Everybody's, their meals are done because they're at home.
Exactly. You know? It's like, look, pay attention now.
Yeah.
The boss knows you're on, and the boss is on. Okay, the big boss was on. This was the top level of executives and creative people from all over the world. The big boss was on.
And he's on. Okay.
And I was told by this person who booked me, I want you to roast these people. And she gave me names of like 15 people and the things that they're known for, whatever funny or, kind of, crazy little things they do around the office so that I can write jokes to them. So what do? I come out, I'm just both guns blazing, man. I barely say hello and I'm bang, bang, bang. And I'm just roasting them one by one. I'm doing my job.
Doing your job. You're doing what was told to you.
They're so confused by this. I'm looking at the faces of the people that I'm roasting. I'm looking at their names going, they didn't know that they were going to get roasted.
Okay.
Nobody has any idea why this is happening.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, that's a catastrophe. I'm in
up to my neck. I do 6 minutes up for six solid minutes of roast jokes. And they're funny jokes. I write a good roast joke, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, so now I'm into my act. Now, it seems to be smoothing out a little bit more as I'm watching the faces. That's all you can get through.
Yeah.
And you're not watching all the faces.
There's no
applause noise. No,
I mean, you can't. It's not an applause button on your computer. You don't know what's going on.
There's nothing. And literally the only thing you can gauge is whether somebody is interrupting you going, oh, my God, shut up. Or you're just looking at the faces, whether they're smiling or not. These people it's like we pulled them out of a dream, woke them up and said, hey, look at this. They're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
And I was the thing, what the fuck? So anyway, long story short, I get through most of my set and then I get to my closer, which is a CVS joke.
Yeah.
And it's called CVS is a porn shop.
It's on your CD.
I swear one time in this joke, they told me swearing was fine. It's the last word of the joke, which is the last joke of my set. All right, so I go on, and I'm talking about CVS. I'm not going to give you the whole thing to bore everybody. But I talk about condoms, and there's lubes in this aisle, and there's all kinds of
sex. It's a funny bit about how CVS is kind of turned into a porn shop, i.e. it's your bit about it. And whatever, it's it's adult language, but it's nothing too crazy to where a group of people that drink at work should like.
Well, exactly.
So
these people,
I'm on your side on this. You know.
I followed the lead that she gave me.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll wrap it up by saying this. As I'm halfway through the joke and I realize where I'm ending on this.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh God, this is, I'm like a Led Zeppelin, man. I'm the Hindenburg. I'm hitting that. I'm blowing up any second now. And I look, she's center square the whole time. It's like
she's
watching
center square,
Hollywood Square. She's Bruce Vilanch.
She's
remember?
Bruce
Paul
Lynn.
And she's looking. I'm looking. She's literally close, like putting her hands over her eyes, going on and off screen. She's like, oh no, no. I can see her like time out. Like, and I'm like, I'm too far in, babe. I'm too far in.
Too far.
I'm not gonna end
I'm
my
too
closer.
Far in.
And I did the joke, and
there's
I did
no
the
coming back.
That was nothing. You
good
talk
for
about
you.
You talk about hey, scorched earth, man.
You said you did everything that the customer asked you to do. You know,
I think I did.
You know, look, there's nothing you can do at that time. I mean, everything you just said, it all comes down to the people watching. You know, I've said, and I could talk all night about this, but you know, I think I told you, well, I did some live shows. I've talked about that, but just something that you just talked about. Sometimes it's about the customer. You know, I think I told this story on a podcast, maybe on our podcast about a year ago. I was doing this Christmas gig, which we all would be doing right now if the pandemic wasn't going on. I'm doing none this year.
And getting lots of money for it.
But I was going to do one. It was at a restaurant in Kalamazoo somewhere. I was in the Kalamazoo Marshall Battle Creek area. I can't remember. But I'm
and you weren't at the casino?
Yeah, I wasn't at the casino. It was a restaurant. I remember Owen Thomas was opening up for me. And it was like in the banquet hall or like a banquet hall of a restaurant. Like a restaurant has like a room in the back and the company was back there. And we were going to do comedy for this company that was having their Christmas party. And I remember the lady specifically saying to me, we only have this room for an hour. I need you guys to go up while we're eating. And I'm like, no, you don't want to do that. No. And she's like,
clinkety, clinkety.
That's the only way we can do it. And I go, look, you're giving me good money, and I want it to be a good show. We'll stay later. I'd rather wait for these people. No, you have to do it this way.
You
and that's
can't
the way.
Compete
and I
with
go,
food.
Okay. I go, you're paying me. I go, so no problem. It was horrible, right? It was absolutely horrible.
My stomach is churning just hearing the setup.
It was brutal. And she paid me, and she just said, oh, well, and at the end, she goes, oh, you know what? The manager came up to me and said, we could have had this room as long as we wanted. I guess you were right, because that show wasn't really that good. But you told me, so here's your money. You told me, so I'm not going to be mad at you because you told me what it was
no
going
to
be like.
To be
and God, you were right. And I go, I've been doing this a long time and people don't want to laugh with, you know.
So she was not going to pay you at some
point? No. She paid me and she just apologized and she said, you were right. You told me not to do it while we were eating, but I told you to do it. You did it and it wasn't that great, but I'm not saying this lady should say that to you. Or whoever this boss
no,
is.
No, she's
she
never going to say
should.
That to me.
Well, she should. she should.
Well, I'm going to say
told
this.
You what to do.
Your booker, the light went on for her. But she didn't offend anybody. Apparently, now according to her, I offended everybody, or at least from her reaction.
Yeah.
Now, what I found out since then is I've had two people from that show friend me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and say it was a funny show. It's like, okay, I get it. We've been down that road. The organizer is freaking out. Going, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. I was like, no, just calm down. Everybody else is having a good
look,
time.
Look, if you roasted everybody that works for the company, you had to have hit home with somebody, like where everybody else went, oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, because, Charlie does always leave the printer on at the end of the night or whatever you joked about, or whatever,
Yes, now they have offices in London and Chicago, and I will say the next day I got a call, one from London, one from Chicago.
Wow.
So... It wasn't from her.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, the person that booked me for that, Mark Ridley, I just want to say thank you publicly for understanding.
Yeah, he gets a lot of calls like that from companies like that.
You know, he booked me and the person who booked him to book me didn't like it. He couldn't have been more supportive. he couldn't have been more positive about the whole thing. He's like, hey, man, don't worry about it. This happens. You know, he brought up some stories about it happening with some real big name folks like Jim Carrey and Kathleen Madigan when he booked them. So it meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And here we are.
No, that's a great story. And I was on the other end of it. Like we talked about, I did a live show. And I tell you what I'm seeing in states that are open is I'm seeing, at least what I saw, what I did in Wisconsin and what I did in Ohio, there's no reason why we shouldn't be doing the same thing in Michigan. And here's why. I know the coronavirus is going out of control right now. There's a lot of deaths. There's ICU beds packed. I get it. It's a serious virus. Not saying that. I'm just saying what I did in Wisconsin, Ohio was very safe.
Mm-hmm.
The servers and the wait staff in the bars had masks on. Mm. The people didn't have masks on in the crowd. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But they were all sat down. Nobody walked around like it was a nightclub atmosphere. Everybody kind of stayed at their seats, enjoyed the show. And then after the show, they left.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't hang around. Yeah, the regulars at the bar did.
Yeah.
The 3-4 people that drink all day there.
Their mini super spreader event.
Yeah. But for the most part, it was just a good events. People wanting to laugh. And people wanting to have a good time and be safe and then go home, and that was it. So, you know, I experienced what I experienced. Now, would some people, you know, some people might say, well, you know, you might have caught it that way. I get it. But it was a chance I was willing to take because it was safe.
I've taken them too, buddy, and I don't blame you.
I'm careful. I wear a mask in.
Uh-huh.
The only time I didn't wear a mask was when I was on stage.
Yeah.
I did sell my shirts, but if somebody wanted a shirt that came up to me, I did the exchange or whatever money. We both had masks on.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
You know, that was it. I went home and I drove home. So anyway, that's the difference between what's going on now. What you did is kind of like the norm because people, companies feel safe doing it that way.
It's awful.
But what I did was a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little more riskier than what you did, but it was fun. It was safe. Oh. And it was a good time.
It's stand-up comedy, man. It's the way it's supposed to be. And if you can do it safely, do it. I did several shows late summer around Michigan. I had like my little mini How Not to Be Discovered tour. And the whole time I'm like, God, man, none of these people are following the guidelines. Nobody cares, you know. And so when that was done, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that again until they figure it out. But no, I'm glad you had good shows, buddy, because it feels good to be back in the saddle, doesn't it?
And it does. And I got to tell you something else. So yesterday, anyway, like I said, I drove 2,000 miles between two gigs, just running around. I mean, I know it's stupid, but I enjoyed it.
It's not stupid. I would do it too if I had live gigs.
But
now.
So anyway, I came home and obviously hung out with my dad a little bit, my brother and my nephew. Well, my brother was like, my back's killing me. I gotta go. He goes, you want to go up to the mall with me? Because I want to sit in one of those chairs that you put the couple dollars in, and it just kind of grinds your back over there at the mall. You ever see that?
Yeah,
massage chairs
you
or whatever.
Grind it on.
He likes those things. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll go up there with you, and then you know, you can sit in that thing, and I'll go, you know, shop in Von Maur or something like that. I'm not kidding you. I tried to take a picture, but I don't know why. There's something wrong with my phone with the lighting, but. They had Santa there in the mall. You know, they always do.
In a plexiglass, right?
No. They had him there, and Santa and the three elves were so bored, there was nobody there.
Nobody.
No mothers, no kids, no nothing. I mean, it was like Santa was sitting in his chair. The three elves looked like they were bored as hell. I was trying to take a picture of it to just go. They looked like a bunch of TSA agents with no flights to you know. I mean, it was horrible. And I'm like, and my brother's like, are they working right now? I go, yeah, they're working right now. And he goes, there's nobody there. I go, I know. I go, hey, believe me, Santa's getting paid. Whatever.
Oh, he's getting paid. Yeah, yeah. So are the elves.
And the elves. So who's
Santa's
ever booking?
Getting paid by the mall. The elves are getting paid by Santa. Bada boom.
But I felt so bad for him because I know there was no kids there going to get a picture with
and
Santa.
And what mall was that?
That was Laurel Park.
Yeah,
Laurel Park. So that's anyway, a bummer. That's the times we're in. I'm like, oh my God, Santa and the Three Elves in the middle of December have no business. And I'm
I know.
What is going on?
It's just the times. But, this time next year, it's all back to normal, baby. We're going to be.
I'm telling you. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is if you have a kid, okay, and every year He can never spend a lot of time with Santa up there because, you know, normal years, they need numbers, man. They're putting you up on Santa's lap.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you're,
yeah.
You're
oh,
gone.
Yeah.
You know
move
what
them,
I mean?
Move them.
Well, if you want your son to, like, have a nice long conversation with Santa, yeah. this is the year to do
this
it. Take him up to Laurel Park. You can have him for yeah. about an hour.
It's like,
you know,
therapy
what I mean?
Sessions. Like an hour and a half with the big elf himself.
So,
well, I'm sorry you had to go through that.
No, but it was fun to watch. I just sat there and, you know, watched them get paid just sitting around.
And, you know, Sal, you brought up at the top of the show, you've had some Nathan's hot dogs, and you weren't really impressed with them.
I just wasn't, man.
And, you know, I've had Nathan's, and I didn't dislike them, but I just couldn't figure out why they were different than anybody else's because they're New York hot dogs, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It might help explain some of this when I tell you that there were several illegal drugs that were once considered healthy.
Okay.
That were actually in food and in medicine, and, yep. and they shouldn't have been there. And over the years, I mean, we've learned so much as time goes by. And one of the things that we learned was that cocaine may not have been the absolute best thing to put in cough syrup because you might have had a cough when you started, but you had a crippling coke addiction when you're done. Right?
Jeez, and it was actually in Coca-Cola for a while.
Right? And it was in Coca-Cola. And, I mean, it was the pause that refreshes. That was the tagline. So
it's been around since 1880.
Coca-Cola or cocaine?
Cocaine.
Yeah. And, I mean, Tony Montana, you know?
That's way before Coke Tony Lord. Montana. That's Andrew Jackson or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, who would, like, George Washington? Well, that's before his time.
Oh, he was? Tony was the George Washington of cocaine? Is that true? Well, so, it had anesthetic properties, cocaine.
Yeah.
So it was actually sold in a couple of different medicines for tooth and other anesthetic properties.
Crazy,
if you had a toothache, you rubbed it on your gums. And people are like, yeah, I like the way that makes me feel.
Yeah.
I want to talk a lot when I'm on this. I don't know what it is. So, yeah, that, they figured that was not such a great deal, and that's where caffeine came in. Caffeine replaced cocaine. It gave it the same jump, the same bump. It didn't last as long, but it didn't have quite
the... Didn't have the effects.
Yeah.
Number two was LSD, was a drug.
Yeah.
That was in pharmaceutical products.
Yeah. I mean, imagine that. So, you know, you go to your doctor, and you're like, hey, I got a headache. He gives you this thing, and... You go home and take it,
man.
And you're seeing a yard full of serpents coming at you. You're like, what the hell, man? It was just a headache.
I swear, there's LSD in Advil PM, because when I take two Advil PM, I have nightmares, dreams.
Really?
Take two Advil PM tonight, and
okay,
and
I
have
actually
fun.
Have, some.
Have fun. Have
so
fun.
You're saying.
I'm serious. You'll have a movie in your mind during the night.
No shit. So
yes.
Advil PM, okay.
Yes, two of them though, not one. One,
two
just,
of them.
One will just knock you out.
Okay.
And you'll sleep great. But two of them, forget it, man. You're gonna have a Stephen King film in your mind in the middle of the night.
Well,
swear.
Hope it's not a snuff film. That'd be awful.
I have crazy, crazy dreams and nightmares.
I didn't
like,
know.
Sometimes
that.
I do it just to freak myself out, like on the road. If I'm,
do you really?
Well, if I'm working a comedy club and I want to sleep all day, you know what I mean? You get that way where you're like, I just don't even want to wake up tomorrow. This room's horrible. But I'll pop two Advil PM. I will wake up at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I will have three nightmares in my mind going, what was that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine waking up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so. I mean, if I get to 7 a.m., that's it. I'm done. I'm up.
Two Advil PM will definitely do that, man. You're on a 12, 13-hour sleep.
Well, how about Advil PM and that Montepulciano that you like to bring over when we do the shows? That sounds like
That with Advil PM, are you kidding me? You'd be out so fast. You'd be like, that guy that slept for 20 years or whatever that guy's name is.
Well, you know what else that's found its way into products and into, shall we say, accepted, I don't know what the word, medical practice? Methamphetamines. Okay?
Yeah.
First synthesized in Germany as a potent amphetamine, a class of drugs used to help people whose jobs required alertness. The drug was widely used by the Axis and Allied troops. Allied troops. Everybody Jeez. Says Axis, but also the Allied troops during Holy. World War II to help stay awake. Some historical sources have claimed that Hitler was in a state of meth psychosis due to his heavy consumption of the drug.
Wow.
It doesn't say what foods it was in. I'm saying, since it originated in Germany, I'm thinking it was meth schnitzel. Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think of this other one here? MDMA.
Yeah, what is that? Is that a band? Is that a kids band?
It sounds like a charity that we should have a telethon for at the end of summer.
Yeah.
That's the MDA. The MDMA, the semi-psychedelic euphoria drug, which, depending on your age, you may recall as X or E or Molly.
Oh, yeah, Molly.
Yeah.
Everybody was doing the Molly a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. This is a funny article.
I remember hearing everybody doing Molly, and I'm like, God, Molly's a whore. You know, everybody's doing Molly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's her number? It's Friday night. You're like, anybody got Molly's number?
Well, everybody was doing Molly, so.
They said a popular myth has it that MDMA, being created by pharmaceutical giant Merck as an appetite suppressant in 1913, not true. It had nothing to do with diets. More likely, they say, the MDMA was an in-between step in synthesizing a different drug, a sort of first pancake that you mess up and feed to the dog of pharmaceuticals. Merck then left the drug to languish on the shelf until people... Somebody said, hey, let's make this for public use.
Jeez.
It was banned in 1985 by an emergency order of the Drug Enforcement Agency, who felt that street abuse of the drug was getting out of control. And then no one did MDMA ever again.
Wow.
No, right. No one's doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's been banned.
See?
Yeah.
And so they keep some around. Like number five, heroin.
Yeah. Oh, that's
heroin is bad.
Yeah, it is.
And I've never tried heroin. I've never done heroin.
No, you don't ever want to.
Thank God. I'll just stick with the bad weed my neighbor grows. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding. You got like a 3-hour buzz to wear off if it's crappy.
But no, heroin is bad. That's number five. And heroin is in cough medicine.
It was in there, wasn't it?
It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't cough medicine.
Heroin was first produced in 1898 as a non-addictive alternative to morphine. Wait a minute, what? Which was a common ingredient in painkillers of the time and considered terribly addictive. We all know how well that worked out. Because when was the last time someone mugged you so they could go buy more morphine cough syrup? When was the last time someone mugged you so they could go buy more morphine cough syrup, Sal?
I don't see drug dealers hanging outside CVS. You going in, man?
Yeah.
Going in?
Yeah. You going in?
I'm going in.
What do you got for me? Well, so you know what? Let's end this episode. We have run the gamut. Nathan's hot dogs to heroin.
We're all over the place. We're having a good time here. We're at Northville Park Studios here.
At the Sal and Bob. We're so social, aren't we, buddy?
We're very social. Don't forget, Perfect the Podcast.
Yes.
All your avenues. We're both on a show called Crossing Streams. That airs every Wednesday night on Facebook
Wednesday
Live.
9:30, our pal Jeff Dwoskin.
Yeah, we got different avenues going on.
Yeah.
We're trying to all get people to listen to our show, to follow the lives of Bob Phillips and one Saturday.
After today's show, they'd be like, I don't want to follow these guys anymore. They're talking about LSD and meth.
But let's see. We're 2 weeks away from a new year. We only have two episodes left in 2020, basically, because we're going to do next week, which will be the 19th, 20th, and then we'll do our New Year's Eve show, Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Rockin' New Year's Eve!
And then it's 2021, man. Then we finally get into January. Get all the political stuff done. We'll get the January 5th Georgia runoff done. We'll get the inauguration done. Biden can get blessed in or whatever the hell you call that. We can move on. Start getting some gigs.
Yeah.
I need Biden to get sworn in so that I can get sworn into a couple of gigs.
I hear you, man. We need that. That needs to happen. The vaccine needs to make its rounds around the country. And I'm going to make a prediction. You and I talked about this during the run-up to the show. And by the way, if you don't know how this show is produced, if you thought, hey, they just get on the air and wing it, you're pretty much right. But before that, we have a dinner that we each agree on. Today it was Mexican. In better times, we're at a steakhouse doing the show live. But this was Mexican food and 3 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Mexican food. And by the way, I just wanted to say, you mentioned the vaccine. They're having problems, you know, figuring out how to distribute it and get it out to the people. I thought that Dr. Fauci should carry the first dose 12,000 miles and give the very first dose to Betty White. I thought that would be brilliant, but they didn't take me up on my offer.
Like the needle is on the top of the torch or something.
Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You can't just... And it starts in Kalamazoo, which is perfect. You can play that song. Isn't there a song with Kalamazoo in it?
Well, yeah, I think so. There's a couple of songs with the mention of the city.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There is a song about Kalamazoo.
Listen to that thing.
It's Glenn Miller.
Okay. 900 years old.
And it's called I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo.
Imagine when this was the fucking popular thing. This was the big thing.
Yeah,
hey,
this is like Adriana Grande or whatever, her name is. Whatever. Justin Bieber. This was the guy. He was singing about his gal in Kalamazoo.
Glenn Miller.
Anyway, I got a gal in Kalamazoo. I think it should be Betty White getting the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
I think that's beautiful and symbolic.
Either that or who else would you... I'm going to ask you, Bob. I'm going to ask you here. We're going to end the show. Who would be your first pick for the very first dose of the vaccine? Who would it be? Who would you want to have... Like, this person cannot die. If
Biden.
This person dies, is Biden? Okay,
yeah,
so he should be the first one.
I don't like Kamala Harris, and I don't want her in there anytime soon.
Yeah.
But I do like Biden, and yeah, I want him to be around for a while.
So you got Joe Biden. All right.
Yeah.
I would say the Pope. I'm going to say the Pope.
Okay.
Because the Pope needs to keep the world together, man.
Oh, okay.
If the Pope dies, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of bad. Like, can you imagine if the Pope died of COVID? So I would say the Pope. I'm going to go with the Pope. You say Joe Biden, I say the Pope.
All right.
And we'll have to ask Nate who he wants to be his first recipient of the Moderna or
Nate
Pfizer.
Nate would probably say Britney, his girlfriends, but since we don't have any.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. All right. So you want my dad. I should say my dad.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. What else you got, man?
Nothing really. I think that's a wrap for us. I just thought this was a fun episode.
A fun
we talked
show,
about
man.
A lot of things.
We,
and,
yeah, man.
We didn't come to conclusions about or anything or fix anything, but
no, we didn't
we're
do
not
that.
Supposed to do that.
We didn't do that. We drank. We talked about things and, you know, we're enjoying this lockdown as well as we can. We hope all of you are enjoying it. We hope you have a great, holiday season. We only have a couple weeks left.
Yeah.
Make sure you get out there and, get your Christmas shopping done and, message us. We'll send you a coffee cup or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Stay in touch with us.
Stay in
Just
touch
give
with
us.
Us
your address. All you got to do is message us on Facebook or on Twitter. At Sal and Bob Show on Facebook, at Sal and Bob Show on Twitter, my buddy across the table here, at Sally D on Twitter. That's his Twitter handle.
Sally D08. Oh, Sally D08.
At Sally D08.
Okay. Yep. And at Bob the Suit.
Yep. So message either one of us. Give us your address. We have coffee cups. We got fun stuff to send you.
We got fun stuff. So we'll be back next week with an all new episode of the Sal and Bob Show. Take care, everybody. God bless. Have a great rest of the year. Bye-bye.
Good night.